If I have time, I'm going to tell you a story that I don't really want to, but I might need to. And I don't come out looking very good, which is why I'm editing on the fly. So help me with this. And I know, and I'm not saying this because there's a lot of people that are sitting at home watching the flake come down and worried about it. When you hear the word warrior, what comes to mind? Just throw it out. What comes to mind when you hear the word warrior? What's that? Soldier, okay. What else? Women. Becky got a text from our daughter, and it was a picture. It had this thing on it. It said, she's a warrior princess. She's going to be impossible to live with now. But nevertheless, so soldier and women. What else comes to mind? Warrior. Courage, okay. What else? Strength. Fight, yeah. Honor, that's a great one. What else? Warrior. Perseverance. Anything else?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah. I came up with a handful, focused, determined, no excuses. There are a few definitions. If you look around for them, you'll find these. One of them says, a warrior is one who engages aggressively or energetically in an activity, cause, or conflict. A warrior is someone engaged in a struggle. I want to come back to this in a minute, but I think it's really important, because if you and I are serious about our relationship with God, and it may be that some aren't, you might just be kind of dabbling or wondering, but when you look at what God wants from you and me, for you and me, there's a mentality we need to have. And so my premise here is that each of us needs to have a warrior mentality over our attitudes and our actions. And whatever you want to, whatever your definition, I think we came up with some pretty good ones about warrior. But I like that idea of energetic and aggressively going after a cause. In the series, we've called it I Declare War, and what we're doing is we're trying to tap into this mentality and looking at our lives pretty honestly and openly. And I'm afraid that too many of us have steered away from warrior mentality, and we've adopted kind of the weenie way. And this is the weenie way slogan would be something like this when there are areas in your life that are subpar. It would be, well, I'm just this way. I'll never change. This is me. Warriors don't say that. Weenies do. And if we're going to be really honest about ourselves, we need to decide, what am I going to be? These two passages that tie into this whole series we're doing, Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This idea of guarding, I mean, most of you, when you left your house today, you probably locked the door, or you've got a Doberman or something in there that's going to, it's being protected. A lot of you probably locked your car even in our church parking lot. We get this idea of guarding, but this thing, it was saying, guard your heart above all else. And when the Bible talks about heart, it's talking about really the cockpit or the command center of my life. It's where my my thoughts, my ideas, my will, my determination resides. Those things that are most important are there. That's what guides me. That's why we need to be really careful about what we let in and all this. And actually, it feeds our emotions. A lot of us think, well, my emotions just happen. Well, they don't happen randomly. You and I emote based on something we're thinking, whether it's something we're deliberately thinking right now or something we've held on to for a long time. But our emotions are fueled by that. So it's really, I need to guard my heart. I need to be really careful about it, because it determines where I go, what I do, how I do it. Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth, this is a prayer, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Warriors don't operate independently, but they operate to please their commander. And so what we do as followers of Jesus is we need to decide, I'm going to do whatever I can to have myself aligned well with what he wants. We looked last week at this idea of getting our head screwed on straight. and making sure that I have a filter for the things that I adopt as true and wise, and make sure they really are true and wise, and they're not just, it's not just PC, or it's not just going along with the crowd or going along with what seems to be comfortable in the moment. If you missed it, you can go online and get it. I really hope you will. But this is important for us. I need to take care of my mind, but we're going to be looking today at about our words and our tongue. I'm going to digress for a minute, but stick with me because I think it'll fit. Is that our culture celebrates self-expression much more than self-control. In fact, we've raised this to an art form. It doesn't take much investigation to see that among the highest priorities we have as a country, or at least in our cultural climate, are these two words, authenticity and passion. Recent article, a guy I like to read, he writes for The Post and other places, a guy named Michael Gerson, and he said that what's happened is that the direction that we're heading is morally lazy. So authenticity, all I'm doing is just adding to tell you like it is. That's how I feel. And passion is, well, whatever I feel strong about. And that's just a lazy version of living. He goes on to say, authenticity and transparency have replaced integrity, kindness, and humble honesty as our values. And this is the kind of the waters that we live in. The result of that is for many of us, we have, and this plays into our words, a desire to be cool, powerful, pushy, vengeful, vindicated, or to get pity often drive what we say or what we don't say. So we've got this agenda, it's self-centered, and if we're not careful, that ends up really guiding everything that we do, which is why I really need to guard my heart. Historically, if we look at it, the people that are celebrated and have made the most positive contribution in our culture and in the world, they've pursued honorable character. I have not read anything about George Washington where he said, I'm calling all of you to be authentic and passionate. There's nothing wrong in some ways of being passionate and authentic, but if that becomes your number one goal, you're not going to accomplish much. And God never calls us to that. He wants us to live lives that are full and live up to our full potential, but it's going to take something else. And he's given us the means to pursue it. You and I can live up to what he's called us to. We have that capacity. Listen to what it says in Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I've gone back and I've looked at the original language. This was written in Greek. And there's not a single one of these words that means authentic or passionate. They're completely left out of this list of character traits that you and I should be pursuing. The issue is not for you and me to be fake or phony. And when it comes to words, we can do that. But to pursue what is highest and what is best, just like a warrior does. Warriors leave a lot of things aside to go after one or two things that are absolutely critical. And that's what we've been called to. And we are to, like, back to the definition of energetically and aggressively pursue what our God and our Savior wants from us and how he wants us to live. And that this should inform how we use our words. And I needed to set the stage for that because I want to look at two more passages. One is, it's where Jesus talked about the importance, the value of our words. And I'm hope that what you'll do is join me in reading this and not thinking about the audience that he had, but think about what is he saying to me. The audience that he had were a group of people that were doing their level best to discredit him publicly, to cause him to be defamed in a way where he would lose any of his credibility, and ultimately they couldn't do that, so they had him killed. This is what he said. He's talking to them directly. There's a larger crowd there, but he says, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. They were claiming that he was of the devil because he was doing these good things. He said, you know, at the end of the day, you need to look at the overall impact of someone's life, and if they're really evil, then you should be seeing evil things come from them. You tell me, where have I blown it? And he goes on to say, he says this, he goes, "You brood of snakes," another translation says, "You brood of vipers. How could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say." This goes back to that thing. Your heart is that command center, the cockpit of our life. "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." There's a ton in this. I'm going to hit a handful of these. Jesus is explaining this principle that what's really inside eventually is going to come out. In the IT world, they call it garbage in, garbage out. I don't expect a good result if I have bad materials. If Becky and I were thinking about making we saw this really good recipe for some weird cookie, and we're thinking about making it, but if I use spoiled milk in that cookie's not going to be that tasty. So the ingredients really do matter. Jesus is saying this is about our life, and it says this idea of we produce whatever whatever's treasured inside. Whatever I've got in the vault of my heart eventually is going to come out. And he's not speaking strictly about being nice. That's not one of the spiritual gifts either. Kind is, but not nice. He talks to this group and he calls them a brood of vipers. It's an interesting word because he's saying you're poisonous snakes and you're trying to deceive people. You hide, you sneak around, but you're really causing harm. And these were these religious elite that were saying they were doing what they were doing in God's name. They were twisting the scriptures. They were using people to their own advantage. And it's interesting what Jesus said. He calls them a brood of snakes. He calls them evil, but he never degenerates into an ugly tirade of expletives. He's telling the truth. He's being very clear about it. But he doesn't get into this ugly, kind of nasty stuff that he might have felt very passionate about. It might have been very authentic, but he's sticking with what's honorable and right. And some of us don't have the guts to speak the truth sometimes. Anyway, that's another story. He's also saying in the words here that God gets you and me. And the fact is, someone can say things that are untrue and they can mask what's going on. We're used to that. We're used to people being fake and phony. And so he's not just saying, it's not just words. God reads my whole heart. And what's interesting about this, the fake and phony thing, is that how often we get caught doing it. How many times there's an open mic and I didn't know that mic was open. Or I've sent a text to the wrong person that really tells that person how I feel about them. Or I've called and left. I had a guy leave a message one time for his wife, but he unfortunately sent it to me after I'd met with him. And he described a meeting that I wasn't part of to his wife. He lied. I mean, the truth eventually will come out. One of my favorite ways to find out what people really think, and I don't do this, I'm just around when it happens, is have people have 3 or 4 beers. And stuff comes out because their regulator is not working so well now. They're not riding herd on it, and so they'll say a lot of things that they're wishing they hadn't said later, but in the midst of having lost some self-control, you hear what's really there. And he goes on to say that you and I are going to give account for every word that we say. God knows all of it. He knows when I'm fake, when I'm phony, when I'm trying to manipulate things, and he understands our heart really well, and he's aware of both our words and in the intent behind the thoughts, behind the words that you and I have. And I'll close with this last part, is that the fact is there's a God we are eventually going to have to deal with. And I don't need, and Jesus wasn't saying this so you and I would live in some kind of terror. Oh no, everything is all going to come back now. He wants us to be aware that there's a God that we need to deal with. And I can either deal with him now, or I can think I'm getting away with it like these that have been attacking him, and it's going to come back, and in the bright light of day, reality is going to set in. Anyone that comes to God humbly, admitting, God, I'm spiritually bankrupt, and I need your help, he will. And it doesn't mean that once I make a decision to follow Jesus, that I'm all of a sudden everything's going to be perfect. Of course it's not. But I've admitted that I need his help. I've admitted that I need this change. I need what his Holy Spirit can do and help me learn to have this love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And that needs to replace the other stuff I've got that is anything but that. So our words really do matter. They're important, and God doesn't miss any of them. He knows all of it. And for you and me, the words that we use are like a thermometer. They give us a picture of the state of our heart. And that's not just words we say, but it's the ones we think, it's the ones we text, it's the ones we write. And so what I want to do is I want to read this passage in Ephesians, and I want all of us to be thinking about this. And I am going to, I've got enough time. I'm going to tell you a story about me that I don't like. Becky will love this. Nevertheless. So I'm a follower of Jesus. So now I've got, I have a commander-in-chief that wants me to please him. And that includes the words I use and the intentions behind the thoughts that go behind the words I use. And here's what it says in Ephesians 4:29. And I'm going to stop at that. I'm going to repeat this one three times. Don't use foul or abusive language. Don't use foul or abusive language. Don't use foul or abusive language. I think that's really clear. And for a lot of us, if we held on to this, we would be utterly silent. It has become just normal. We have a congressman recently that kind of crossed a line that hadn't been done publicly, using a word toward our president in this case, but our president has practiced this too, so let's just be equal on all this. Some of this ugly, hateful kind of stuff that is not, it's not speaking the truth in any way, it's just exposing and being very authentic, but ugly and hateful and not at all helpful. So don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say, and the word everything here means everything. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now the word encouragement, some of us get this and we think, oh, that means everything I say has got to make someone smile and happy. And that's not what it means at all. The word encourage means to help put courage in someone. And in some cases, that means I need to say something that's hard for them to hear, but they need to hear it so they can grow and develop and be strong and maybe stay off a path that could destroy them. It could be they're causing harm for other people. And so my words come along to help. It might be stop, quit that, change your, but the words are designed to be helpful. It says, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life is this growing indicator that I have these character qualities, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things I have the capacity to because God's given me his Holy Spirit. And now these things should be growing in my life. If they're not, I've got a problem. And if I bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit, there's no reason for me to think that I have God's favor, he's going to answer prayer for me, or he's going to protect me in any way. I need to be careful. I need to get back on track. Remember, speaking of God, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You and I are God's, that when we accepted Jesus, we're now his children, and we represent him everywhere we go. How is that representation going? Do we cause him to be sorry? Or do we are in embarrassment to him? Do we cause others to have a poor opinion of him because of the way we represent him? In our words, in many cases, our words are what people hang on to. That's the display they have. Verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And that means that when I have these things in my life, bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, I need to do everything I can to get rid of it. I don't get rid of it by burying it, pretending it's not there, or numbing myself. I have to look at what's causing me to be anger. What's causing me to be bitter? Why am I unforgiving? What is going on inside? I need to guard my heart. I need to understand what's going on in the cockpit of my life because it's driving me. I need to deal with that stuff because if I don't, it will deal with me. And it's going to cause me and others great harm. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. And that just in case something was left out or the words have changed. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Some of us, we look at this and we say, okay, that means I'm going to start editing everything I say. I'll have someone else read what I say so I don't get in trouble. It's not really necessarily dealt with the heart issue, but at least what's being produced, at least I can come out okay. And some of us think, I'm fine. Others of us kind of brag about, well, I haven't said anything unkind. And the truth is, we really haven't said much at all. This is not meant to be this kind of passive mentality. It means I have words. I have the capacity to communicate. What I need to do is to decide I'm going to use it well. I'm going to use it really well. And silence isn't using it well. Because where there's a time where I could be helpful and encouragement or support, my being silent means I'm actually adding to the problem. But you have to be careful with it. So here's the story on me. Becky and I were gone right after Christmas. We traveled some. And I'm gonna see if I can say this right. Becky uses a lot more words than I do. And her words weigh a lot more than mine. She discusses things at length. And I'm afraid sometimes to ask some questions because I don't know if I really have time to listen appropriately. That's really making me look like a weenie, but nevertheless. So this is kind of what I've done. So she will say something to me. She might say, I just made a cup of coffee. And I'm thinking, I know I'm supposed to respond. I don't care, but I feel like I need to respond. And so I have gotten into this habit recently. I don't know how long recently is, but it's been a while.
A lot of years.
A lot. Where I will respond like this. Well, good for you. And that's on almost anything. You know, I just went to Wegmans. I just did this. I did that. I'm going to do this. And I go, well, good for you. And we finally discovered what it made her feel like. And I think the word patronize, that's the word I'll use because that's more palatable publicly. My hope was in doing this, and I'm going to get some credit for caring. Truth is, I didn't care about almost any of the stuff I'm responding to, but I'm thinking I've got to do something. That's telling you a whole lot about me. It's a lot about, you know, how I'm wired or miswired. And so now we've been trying some things. Pat Marley suggested a word that didn't work. I tried that. I've tried, no, it wasn't that word. He said, just say the word dude. Dude. That's not going to work. And if Pat ever says that to you, it means he doesn't care. Thought about saying, Roger, copy that. Wow, cool. And so far, nothing's working, and I'm in a deeper hole now because I've brought you into my dysfunction. But the thing is, words do matter. The absence of words matters. And there's some of us, there are things that we should be saying. Some of you at work, some of you in your neighborhood, in your family, there are words that should be said that haven't been. And maybe you're just assuming, oh, I'm sure everybody knows. But the absence of being kind is being unkind and uncaring. And so I think there's an aggressiveness and a deliberateness about how we use our words that is really important here. And somehow we've got to figure out, God, what is it you're telling me to do? And it may be way out of my comfort zone. But what is it you're wanting me to do with the words that I have? What have I been doing that I need to stop because I'm hurting people? Some of you, if we wanted to take the time, you can remember hurtful things that were said to you decades ago. And the person that said it may not have thought about it again. They just dumped on you, and maybe they did it over and over again, but you've held on to it. There are others of us that have heard some things, some words that were kind, some words that were generous, and we've held on to that, and it was like a breath of fresh air in a stale universe. There are things that you and I need to be aggressively about. And in thinking in this this series, this whole idea of declaring wars, I need to start really thinking about the power and the capacity I have with what I say and how I communicate. And I need to be before God, I need to be willing to deliberately engage the way He wants me to in the lives of the people around me. And no one's going to do it for me. The thing about us adults is it's real easy to adopt the weenie way. And just say, well, I'm just this way, this is the way it was, I'm not as bad as this person. But that's not, we're not called to live not as bad as. Be careful how I said that. A-S, not as bad as. That's going to really hurt me, isn't it? But I'm called to live positively in a direction where I'm deliberately embracing this thing. And for some of us, it means there are things we're going to have to go back and own where we've messed up. And say, I was wrong, would you forgive me? And maybe even listen to why someone was hurt by what we had said or what we should have said that we didn't. This is not something that's optional for you and me. And I'm afraid that in a world full of words, in a world full of being authentic, and authentic means I can just throw my junk however I want because I'm passionate about it, and that's how I really feel, that we've taken that into some kind of a right that we have that ends up negating this, what the Holy Spirit's trying to build in and show through you and me. So I want to read this passage one more time, and then we're going to pray. And there's a take-home sheet that will really help you walk through it if you've got the courage to do that. It says, don't use foul or abusive language. There's no excuse. It's period. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. In parentheses, therefore, out of gratitude, do whatever He asks, however He asks. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Let's pray together. God, this thing about words, in a world that loves information and we love being able to communicate, we love having an audience, and too often the mindset we're surrounded with is if you feel it, express it. If you think it, say it. And we justify it. We like this idea, I'm being genuine, authentic, I'm passionate, I'm real. But we've not been placing your interest at the top. We've not been thinking about what it means to represent you, even to antagonists and those that are against us. We've replaced the truth with just whatever we feel and what's PC. God, I pray that you would help each of us to be willing to reflect on what we're communicating in our words, in all the different ways we do it, and in those cases where we haven't said things that we should. And I pray that you would help us to be like warriors, that we would energetically and aggressively pursue what is right and good and honorable. And at the end of the day, you would be proud of us for. I ask this in Christ's name for His sake. Amen.